भगवद्गीता 5.24, यो अंतः सुखो अंतरारामस तथांतर ज्योतिरेव यः स योगी ब्रह्म निर्वाणम ब्रह्म भूतो दिगच्छति। यो अंतः सुखो, वन हु एक्सपीरियंसेस हैप्पीनेस इंटरनल, दिस भगवद्गीता 5.24। कृष्णा इज टॉकिंग अबाउट द स्पिरिचुअली एडवांस सोल्स ओवर हियर। यो अंतः सुखो अंतरारामस। Antararamas, one who is who delights within. Tathantar jyotireva yaha, one whose jyoti, one whose light is within. That means one who seeks where there is light, that is the path we normally follow and go towards. So antar jyotir means one who follows the path internally. Tathantar jyotireva yaha, so yogi brahma nirvanam. So yogi attains brahma nirvana. Brahma bhuto adhigacchati, brahma bhuta, being on the spiritual platform. So now, one who seeks happiness attains perfection, Krishna says. What is the perfection? Brahma nirvana. Now, nirvana is often thought of as a Buddhistic term. In Buddhism, the perfection of nirvana means extinction of existence. But it's like, say, a candle is there and the candle is extinguished. So, in Buddhist theory, it is that, Buddhist philosophy, it is the idea that our consciousness is like a candle and desire is the fuel that keeps the candle burning. When we give up desire, when we break free from desire, then the candle no longer burns. Candle gets extinguished. And then that is the state of enlightenment. So, Krishna is using the term nirvana. Now, we have to understand that certain terms may be popularized by certain traditions, but that does not mean that those terms are the monopoly of those traditions. And other scriptures may use them, and they may use them. That does not mean that they are borrowing from that school of thought. Those terms may well, that means it's not that the Gita is necessarily borrowing from Buddhism. Rather, those terms may well have been existing before Buddhism came, and Buddhism simply made the term prominent, but the Bhagavad Gita is using what was spoken earlier. What was the terms? The term existed earlier, and the Bhagavad Gita is referring to that. And the Bhagavad Gita doesn't use the word nirvana, it uses the word Brahma nirvana. Now, in Buddhism, the ultimate truth is shunya. Shunya means oneness. And actually, in Buddhism, the whole idea is that one attains oneness by void, shunya means zero. So by giving up desire, one extinguishes its existence, and that zero state is the state of relief from all misery. The Bhagavatam is not talking about that shunyata at all, because that is immediately associated with the word nirvana, that is Brahma nirvana. So Brahma nirvana means there is extinction of material existence, but there is also the attainment of spiritual existence. Brahma nirvana richati. The word Brahma nirvana comes several times in the Bhagavad Gita. First occurrence is in 2.72. Esha vibrahmi sthiti partha nainam prapya vimohiyati. So essentially it means liberation, it means spiritual liberation. So it's actually extinction of material existence, could be said that that's what nirvana means, but along with that there is attainment of spiritual existence. So nirvana at the material level and attainment of existence at the spiritual level, Brahma nirvana. There Krishna is using the same word, and he's saying that one who lives lifelong like that, at the end of life, will attain Brahma Nirvana. So after 2.72, the first occurrence of Brahma Nirvana is in, here in 5.24. And then again, the same word comes in 5.25, and Krishna says that Labante Brahma Nirvanam Rishayakshina Kalmasha Chinnadvaidhayata Atmanaha Sarvabhuta Hiterataha Labante Brahma Nirvanam. The person attains Brahma Nirvana. and he gives the qualifications of what all a person should do to attain Brahma Nirvana. And then in 6.15 also Krishna uses a similar word when he says that yunjan yogi yunjaneevam sadatmanam yogi niyatamanasa shantim nirvana paramam matsamstham adigachati. So there Krishna uses the word nirvana, but along with that is paramam, it's not Brahma. So what does he say over there? That those who live like this, that yunjaneevam sadatmanam, those who keep practicing like this, yogi niyatamanasaha, they control their minds. Shantim nirvana paramam. They attain peace and they attain the supreme nirvana. So Krishna is not talking about the nirvana which the impersonal is attained. He's talking paramam, the supreme. That means he's talking about the spiritual attainment of spiritual existence. Matsamsthamadigachati. They attain my nature, they attain my shelter. So the exact nature of the spiritual liberation, Krishna doesn't identify whether it is personal or impersonal. That will depend on what the conception of the seekers is. So here, as we know, Krishna has been talking about karma yogis moving onwards towards the practice of bhakti yoga. Or rather, karma yogis moving towards the attainment of jnana. So, if those karma yogis get a personal conception and become bhaktas, then this Brahma Nirvana will ultimately refer to attainment of personal existence. Personalist liberation. And if they develop an impersonalist orientation that is not offensive to Krishna, then they will attain a impersonal liberation. Essentially, Krishna is saying in this verse that if we seek happiness internally, then now the internal is the way to the spiritual. At least in the path, even in bhakti also we have to go internal. But bhakti allows us to act externally in order to go internally, unlike other paths. So here, that means in bhakti, Krishna manifests himself externally also as the deities and so many other manifestations by which we can become attracted to him and attain him. So now here Krishna states that they will attain Brahman. Those who seek happiness internally, they will attain yantah sukho antararama sathantar jyotirevaya sa yogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto adhigachati brahma bhuta adhigachati. They will attain the brahma bhuta platform. Thus, Brahman existence. Krishna uses the word Brahma Bhuta also several times. So, for another time that he uses prominently is in 18.54, when he says Brahma Bhuta prasannatma nashochati nakangshati samah sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. So, he says Brahma Bhuta prasannatma. One who is Brahma Bhuta is prasanna, is cheerful, is jolly. Nashochati nakangshati, such a person does not hanker or lament, and samah sarveshu bhuteshu, being equal to everyone, mad bhaktim labhate param, that person attains the supreme, the para bhakti, spiritual devotion, pure devotion. So, there the word Brahma Bhuta comes. So, now, there Krishna talks about the Brahma Bhuta platform as the prelude to the person, to the supreme devotion. So, whereas impersonalists consider that the Brahman attainment is the supreme attainment. In fact, they say that the Brahman is the graduation of, the Brahman stage is the graduation of devotion. That's what the impersonalists say. But Krishna says, the Brahman stage is the preparation for devotion. So, impersonalists say that, okay, you practice bhakti now. Because you are less intelligent, you cannot understand the impersonal oneness right now. You practice bhakti, make advancement. When you come to the higher modes, then you will understand how you and your worshipful object are one. So, they have the idea that Brahman is the prelude idea that bhakti is the prelude to Brahman. Brahman is the graduation of bhakti. But here Krishna says that, of course, bhakti can be practiced from any stage, even if a person is in the mode of ignorance or passion or whatever. But para bhakti, pure devotion, is actually the graduation of the path of detachment. It leads one to complete renunciation, to a deep understanding of the Gita.
Now, in this way, actually, Krishna, in this verse, talks about the attainment of spiritual perfection.
Thank you.